Now we will look at the ayahs. Inna alladhina ja'u bil ifk. Indeed those who came with the slander. Usbatum minkum. A group from among you. So those who brought forth the slander are a group from you. Usbah means a strong group. Not physically, but verbally strong or sharp and persuasive. And others fear to defy them in whatever they say. Another meaning of usba is that someone who humiliates whoever they want to. So people prefer to stay quiet in front of them. So a group has brought forth a slander from you, a false accusation created by not a disbeliever, but from among the Muslims. From this we learn that this was a fabricated lie. And if we think about the time that these ayahs were revealed, the matter was made clear. If we learn about the ranks of Aisha radiallahu anha, in comparison to other women that are mentioned, the first is that even before her nikah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw her in his dream. Jibreel al-Islam brought her picture with her wrapped in a silken cloth and informed him that this is your wife. The second honor was that apart from her, no other wife the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married was a virgin. Third is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died in her lap. The fourth is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried in her living quarter. The fifth was that the wahi or revelation would come down on the Prophet when he was with Aisha under the same cover. No other wife's bed did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam receive revelation. Sixth, her innocence was revealed in the Quran. Seventh, she was a daughter of a Khalifa and called Siddiq, one who is promised forgiveness and noble provision, mentioned in Ayah 26. Another honor she had was her chewing of the miswak for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before his death, that he put in his mouth. These are her special ranks. So those who have fabricated a lie, a slander from you, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. Do not consider it bad for you, rather it is good for you. What does this mean? Allah has said that do not consider it bad for yourself, rather in it is good for you. This was such a big matter, full of distress, grief, and Aisha radiallahu anha wept so much, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in such turmoil. And Allah is saying, do not consider it evil for yourself, rather it is good. So if any people find difficulties and hardships in life, and they remain upon faith and have patience, then they cannot consider it a bad for themselves. It is only khair or good. Whether it is a sickness or monetary loss or stresses or any other grief, such an emotional and painful event that Aisha radiallahu anha had to undergo and even cried so much about. And what can be bigger than what she was accused of? A person can question, how is this not bad? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is good, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is true. But how is it good? This is because in the long run, whatever Aisha radiallahu anha endured due to her suffering, whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through, their ranks were increased. And what else was good? Even today, after 1400 years, we are reciting these ayahs mentioning the innocence and purity of Aisha radiallahu anha, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testifying himself. For no other woman ayahs were revealed regarding their innocence. For Maryam alayhi salam's purity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Isa alayhi salam to speak as a baby to testify her innocence. Even for Yusuf alayhi salam's innocence, a child gave testimony. And for Aisha radiyallahu anha's innocence, Allah Rabbul Alameen testifies himself, such honor, there is no doubt there is goodness in it. We consider so many things bad that are good for us, and so many things we consider good and that are bad for us. We do not always know what is good or bad for us. We are very short-sighted. We should always make dua to Allah to make a decision for us that has good in it for us. We don't even know what is good for us, but only Allah knows. So when we ask from Allah, we should ask for that which is good for us. And whatever we consider bad for ourselves is not always bad. As we feel sad and distressed due to certain matters, and we cry as Aisha also cried and what she went through. What Aisha radiallahu anha went through was very painful. And if you look over the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, his getting lost from his family, was it bad or good? Ultimately, great good came out of it. If he had remained with his father, Yaqub alayhi salam, he would not have received those honors. Because our knowledge is very limited, and we can only see what is apparent, and we worry and grieve when we face illnesses, monetary losses, and then we question what bad happened to others. We do not know whose ranks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to raise, and whom to reach goodness to, and what benefits reach the person due to the hardship that came upon them. Today, as we read these ayahs, we are gaining guidance from what happened to Aisha radiallahu anha and Safwan radiallahu anhu. This event became a means of sadaqah jariyah, a continued charity. But how? Because we who read and learn the story gain guidance from it and take good lessons from it. If that had not happened, we would not have these ayahs. And in honor of Aisha radiallahu anha, ayahs about these commands could have been revealed. But here they are mentioned in reference to Aisha radiallahu anha and in her regard and honor. Until the end of this world, whoever recites these ayahs will testify to her innocence and purity. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to raise her ranks, along with a good mention that continues for centuries and centuries to come. So it is said, do not consider it bad. Consider it good. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. And for every man or person from them is whatever they acquired or earned from the sin. For every person was a sin according to his share in this slander. Whatever action any person did in this slander in regards to whatever share they put in it, how much they had share in its propagation, what was their response upon hearing it, what statements were made about this, how much was discussed and spread to others, and if anyone kept it to themselves, however much was the share of those involved, according to that share was their level of sin. So what we learn from this is whatever we hear and our reaction to it, our making one statement, two statements, how much we speak about it, what do we say about it, everything gets written accordingly, either getting a reward or a sin. Whatever we utter gets recorded. Hassan radiallahu anhu, who was a poet, and people believed a poet as he was a form of media at that time, he put his share in it, and the rest their share. وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And one who undertook his greater share from them, for him is a great punishment. Who had the biggest share in this? Abdullah ibn Ubay. Depends how big is a part they took in something. Those who put in a big share in the sinful talk are those who have a lot of free time, free mind, they are the ones who are usually ahead in these things. After this, Aisha radiallahu anha would always pride herself over the fact that Allah had revealed ayahs proving her innocence. Such great good she received due to this. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did the training of Muslims by putting them in this situation. What the believers learned from this event, they would not have otherwise if it was just mentioned. Even Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu received reward for his patience during this difficult time. He, as a father, he did not even defend his daughter, which sometimes people do wrongfully. Allah tells us that there is best in everything Allah does. But this is something people do not understand. We learn that whether we understand or not, we should say and realize that we do not understand, but there is good in it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ لَا إِذْ سَمَيْتُمُوهُ. Why was it not that when you heard of it, referring to the slander, ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. Why didn't the believing men and believing women think good in themselves? وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. And why didn't they say, this is an open lie and a slander? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why wasn't it so that the believing men and women say it was a clear lie and a slander? How can it be? أَنفُسِهِمْ here means in themselves, as Muslims are like one body. And when a person thinks good about their own selves, so the respect of other Muslims is their own respect. Why didn't they put themselves in those shoes and think they are saying bad about themselves? Thinking good of them was thinking good of oneself, as they are part of you. They are your own. She is the mother of the believers. Abu Ayyub Ansari's wife said to him, have you heard about what is being said about Aisha radiallahu anha? He just heard this from his wife and said, yes. He said, this is a clear lie. You tell me, would you ever do this? She said, no, by Allah, I wouldn't do that. Abu Ayyub said, Aisha is far better and superior than you. How can you say such a thing about her if you wouldn't do it? Then these ayahs were revealed. The conversation which Abu Ayyub Ansari had with his wife, and no one else knew about, their conversation was revealed. That this is what others should have said, and should have realized and understood. If this false talk came forth, the believers should not have tolerated it, nor accepted it. And they should have said, Haza ifkum mubin. And this is a lesson for us. If we hear anything of this sort, we should say this is a lie or a slander. But what about when someone says it and it is true? Then what is needed in that case is bringing forth four witnesses. When there are no witnesses, they should not talk about it. Especially if the people are known for their purity and abstaining from fornication, then to think of them of being possibly involved is not correct. When a person is known for their purity of character, then they should say this is a lie. From this we learn that Muslims should think good of other Muslims and cannot follow after baseless accusations. And we cannot say anything without proof or witnesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here, ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ. What do we learn from here? Not just all men and women, but believing men and believing women specifically. They shouldn't do it at all, because they have faith, and the requirement of faith is that they do not utter such things that are bad or evil. Faith should compel believing men and women not to take interest in these type of talks, and they should remind others, Hatha ifkun mubeen. So initiating slanderous talks, having discussions about it, and propelling them forward should be avoided and should be stopped if others are doing it. Another important point to consider is, as it is said, innocent until proven guilty. This should be the rule, not the other way around, that everyone is guilty until proven innocent. We should consider everybody good until proven guilty. This is also the rule in Islam. And we see that everyone in that society said this, Hatha ifkum mubeen, except the three people who were among the true believers. It wasn't part of a society where scandals are mentioned everywhere and being the focal point of discussions. So when we hear something wrong about someone, we should defend them and not follow after that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ لَا جَاءُوا أَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ. Why didn't they produce four witnesses against it? Where were the witnesses? This is not something just revealed at this time, but it was also revealed previously in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 15. And it was revealed before, saying, if it seems a woman had committed adultery, bring four witnesses. And if the four witnesses testified, then the command was to withhold them in your homes or until Allah makes another way out for them. So this command was already mentioned. So we cannot accuse anyone unless four witnesses are presented. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds, why didn't they bring forth four witnesses? فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَاءِ. Since they did not bring four witnesses, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. So those are the liars with Allah. Those who have slandered if they didn't have the four witnesses. عِنْدَ اللَّهِ means according to the law of Allah. Even if one stands up and says, I have seen it, but if the other three are not there, then he too is considered a liar. Four are needed. Not one seeing or two, not until four are brought forth. When if one has seen it, it will be considered a liar and the punishment of flogging will be applied. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ فِيمَا أَفَدْتُمْ فِيهِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And if it were not the grace of Allah upon you in this world and in the hereafter, surely would have reached a big punishment. This is the mercy of Allah, that Allah absolved some people from the accusation and saved them. If it were not for the fadl or grace of Allah, and these ayahs were not revealed, and there was no punishment of flogging, and the requirement of four witnesses, there would not have been declaring innocence as mentioned in these ayahs, and people would go around accusing, and if there was no punishment, there would have been punishment in the hereafter. And due to the severity of the allegations, it could have meant a big punishment on the nation as previous nations faced aforetime. In addition to the punishment of the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown mercy and grace upon the believers, so the punishment was averted. How is it a grace for us in this world? By revealing these ayahs with commands and the ability to repent for them and the grace and mercy in the hereafter is when Allah overlooks our faults and forgives us. If it was not for the grace of Allah, they would have seen punishment in this world and in the hereafter, because what was uttered from their mouths was enormous. إِسْتَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. When your tongues were propagating it. When this matter was being propagated to others by your tongue, without any verification of what was being said. تَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. and you were saying with your mouth that which you did not have any knowledge. Who had knowledge of it? One person started the accusation, and these things usually start from one person. One says the filth from their mouths, then the matter gets spread to others. Why does it say it was propagated by the tongue and said with their mouths? Because tongue is part of the mouth. When it was a mention, then tongue is mentioned. But when it was spread to others, then taquluna is said. First someone said it, then spread out to others. So when you were propagating with your tongues, and you were saying with your mouths as it was being spread, and discussion started about it, about which they didn't have any knowledge. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ حَيِّنَا And you considered it light. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ While it was a big matter near Allah. Did you think it was just a passing comment and took it lightly? As usually when we speak, we don't think that what we may have uttered could be so big in the sight of Allah. Many things are said and taken lightly. For example, accusing someone or saying something to someone. In Bukhari Muslim, it is mentioned that sometimes a man utters words that has no weight with the person, but because of that one word or a statement, he makes his place deep in the depth of hell, which is as far as distance between the heavens and the earth, and even more in depth. What a person doesn't consider a big deal is a big deal with Allah, and a person doesn't even realize it. So that of which we did not have any business, why did they open their tongues for it? May Allah forgive us if we utter something like it for someone else. In a hadith, it is mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ stated that Allah has excused people from my ummah of thoughts that arise in their hearts until they come on the tongue or are brought into action. When a matter comes on the tongue, then the person gets accountability. Therefore, do not utter it. If a bad thought enters the heart, we should say, A'udhu billah, or La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, especially if it's a negative or evil thought. It is from the shaitan. Do not let the thought come out. If a mistake is made of bringing on the tongue, as when sometimes when we speak, we do not think too much about it, then we should do a lot of istighfar. And if bad was said about someone, now we should say good about them. They considered saying such things about the wife of a prophet. This was a big matter. And they attached the household of the Prophet ﷺ, causing great pain to the Prophet. Even for ordinary people, this is a big matter. When there are false accusations about women in their family, this is a matter of humiliation. Therefore, then again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ Why was it not that when you heard it, قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا You said not appropriate for us that we speak about this. Allah gives us training. Why didn't you say, For the future, know that whenever something of this sort happens, then we cannot agree with this, but have to say this is not appropriate or right for us to say this. We shouldn't fall into these type of talks and propagate them. But shaitan makes us forget. So as soon as one remembers, immediately should say, No, we shouldn't talk about this. Subhanaka haza buhtanun azim. Glory to you, Allah. As we say, Subhanallah, this is not true. Whenever we hear anything of this sort, we should remember Allah. Say Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, or Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. This is what we are taught to say, Subhanaka. It means Allah, you are free of all defects. Glory to you. Why said as a second person, which is said for one who is present? As one would say, you did this and it means I can see you as I speak to you. Here it means I am being watched by Allah. Allah is hearing whatever I say, and Allah is watching me. This is why Subhanaka is said. It means, Allah, you are pure. Or when two people are speaking, the third is Allah. هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is a big slander. So instead of trying to find out more about this talk, should say Subhanaka. هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. يَعِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah admonishes you. أَن تَعُودُوا لِمِثْلِهِ أَبَدًا. That you repeat it ever. This should never happen again. When do we say this? Usually when we warn our child. Don't you ever do this again. It also means that they are forgiven. إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are believers. If you have faith and call yourself believers, never ever do it again. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another chance. The sin was forgiven as the three faced the ordained punishment of flogging, who took part with the propagation, and from now on, this should not happen in the society. The society is being admonished that they cannot spread slanders. We must put ourselves in the accused person's shoes. وَيُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah explains these ayahs, and these commands and instructions are based on His knowledge, and in these commands is His wisdom. There is only good in them, and if we obey, it will only be good for us. Alhamdulillah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Please listen to the recitation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فإذ لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفضتم فيه عذاب عظيم إذ تلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين ويبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم